This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 1057
The Fan. 1057 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday, cranking it up to 12. It's also a victory Tuesday. The Ravens coming off a 30-23 triumph over the Chargers on the road. Monday Night Football. Lamar Jackson, quarterback rating well over 100, 126.5. Derrick Henry, 140 yards rushing. Ravens sacked the quarterback, Justin Herbert, four times. So a good, strong, solid win on the road as they come back home, get ready for the Eagles this coming Sunday. But John Harbaugh got aggressive in some of the play calling there and making decisions along with Todd Monken. And here's Harbs after the game explaining that.
Yeah, I just felt like we could get him. I mean, you got to believe in your guys. And I thought we were running the ball pretty well. And I felt good about our offensive line, felt good about Derek, felt good about Lamar and the threat of Lamar in those situations as well. Even the two-point play going for that same thing. I mean, you try to go up nine. At some point in time, if they get back in it, if they score again, they're going to go for two if you kick it. So, you know, I kind of want to put the ball in Lamar Jackson's hands, you know, and try to get the two-point conversion instead of trying to have to stop it, you know.
I thought Harbs was really aggressive. And I think, Bob, when you see you're down 10-0, they moved the ball on your defense at that time pretty easily. And, you know, it's like 4th and 1. And we're going to give it back to him again. And we're going to go down 13 or 7. I think he says, hey, if we can't get 6 inches on these guys, we don't deserve to play. And you know what would be interesting, Bob? If he runs that by anybody else, or that's just like his gut telling him I'm going for it, or does he tell Monken, what do you think, Todd? That would be kind of...
I'm sure history has proven that he probably consulted with Lamar Jackson in that situation, too.
You think? I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch the tape and see what Lamar was doing at that time.
I'm guessing Monken's probably yapping at his...
Well, you know what, though? Remember, Bob, it was a two-minute warning. They called timeout. Remember?
Sure.
They ran the clock down, called timeout, because they lined up to go for it, let the clock run down to 2 minutes. Then they came over, and you're probably right. Then he asked probably the offensive guys, listen.
And what's Lamar going to say? No. Like, hell yeah, let's do this.
Derek, I'm putting it. Well, no, they were going to run it. They ran it with Andrews.
But they get the first down, then they wind up scoring a touchdown on the drive. And you heard John Harbaugh also talking about going for two. Extra point puts you up 8. You're already up 7. So, to use German, I was 9 was going to make it a 9-point deficit, because I get what he's saying. You're up 9. It's a 2-possession game. Yeah. But, I mean, getting a touchdown and converting a 2-point conversion is not exactly a walk in the park either. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I didn't have a problem with it. I actually kind of liked it at the time. All right, we're up to... Because What was the score at that time, Bob?
They were upset. 23-16.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that one.
Nolan, what'd you say?
Yeah, I kind of like the thought process, and I wouldn't be surprised.
It failed.
Well, here's the qualifier.
Right.
Usually when you're deciding on two-point plays, you're weighing the risk and the reward. This almost feels like a high reward, low risk, because worst-case scenario, you're up 7. the opponent, they go down and score. In theory, they're just going to kick the extra point, tie the game.
Yep.
So I kind of like it there. The reward of that two-possession game would have been huge.
Now, Roquan Smith's unfortunate hamstring injury, which kept him out of last night's game, means that Malik Harrison got the award of most tackles, 13 to be exact. Here's John Harbaugh talking about his Ohio State linebacker.
That's what it is. I mean, you talk about versatility and all the different things, and even within special teams, they're versatile jobs. I mean, there's punt, there's six different phases, are all different jobs for Malik. But then he plays inside back or in the middle of the defense and on the edge, setting the edge. That's a pretty unique thing to do. So, we talked about him, making he's already made a name for himself, I think, but making even a bigger name for himself, and he did it tonight.
Bob, you know what's crazy was he played 50 snaps. Malik did. 72%, and then he had 23 special team snaps. 23. Quite a few.
But for a guy, and he was drafted the same year as Patrick Queen, third round pick, and I remember going back to the draft profiles in the analysis after the fact, Malik Harrison said, along with Queen, hey, we're going to be the inside linebacker duo for years here for the Ravens.
Yeah.
Never panned out that way.
No.
Queen now in Pittsburgh, but Malik Harrison, as John Harbaugh just said, he has carved out a pretty strong niche for himself here in the National Football League, and he's a guy that contributes on Sundays to the cause.
He's a run stopper that is a marginal athlete in space. You know, you don't want him in space. You don't want him, and like I always said, you don't want him going backwards and laterally. I mean, between the tackles, that dude's a beast between the tackles going forward. That's what he brings to the table, and he does a decent job setting the edge when he's lined up as the outside guy, and that's why he started the game, you know, because he'll play a lot, Bob, this week, whether it be inside or outside. And I would play Roquan and him and Board. I'd rotate those guys in there.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Victory Tuesday. Turn it up Tuesday, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Cerrato, Nolan McGraw. Here's Malik Harrison himself talking about his role this year.
It is, but, you know, I can handle it. You know, I've been doing it for the last, three years. So, you know, it's you know, whatever they want me to do, I'll do it.
He's been doing, yeah, like he said, last
Team
3
player.
Years. Yeah, special teamer. And, Bob, he make a decent living doing that. Being a role player, he make a decent living. But last night was his signature moment, I would think, because they needed it. Monday night game, and you're the leading tackler. That was a hell of a performance for him. That's why he was, you know, after Harbs, he was the next one being interviewed.
Now, for Lamar Jackson, he put on a hell of a performance. You know, Nolan and Chris, caller earlier, thinks, you know, there's more left to give, but he did account for 3 touchdowns, 2 via the air and 1 on the ground. But the first touchdown, Rashad Bateman, crazy play, and here's Lamar talking about that one.
Just giving him opportunity. I believe my receivers are great. They got great hands. You know, the first one in the back of the end zone, I told him, I'm like, bro, I expect you to catch that. He like, I got you. You know, but he made up for it, and he made a terrific catch. I trust all my receivers.
Yeah, he made an awesome catch, and on the first one that he was talking about, I mean, even Nolan said it earlier, that DB had his hand in there.
And that degree of difficulty was even higher than the second one.
Yeah, the second one, that was an awesome play, and it was going to be PI. So no matter what, they were going to have, at worst case, Bob, they were going to have the ball on the 1 yard line. But it ended up being a very nice catch.
How are we feeling about Bateman this year as opposed to where we were, say, a year ago at this time?
I think a lot more confidence in him. Bob, he has not pouted. He just seems like he's much more engaged in everything. And when Harbs was talking after the game, he said, hey, I forgot to give Bateman a game ball. Hey, Chad, make sure we give Bateman a game ball. So I think he's a much better player and knows his, kind of got his role, you know, his 3 or 4 catches a game, and you know, he's going to make some big ones.
Like playmaking guy too, yeah.
Right, and he might have already hit it before last night because he was just under 50 yards, but already at a career high in yards in a season, 574.
Well, congratulations to Rashad Bateman with hopefully many more to come.
You figure, I mean, if he gets like 800 yards or something, that would be a hell of a year for him.
Now the Ravens up down the stretch. I mean, Thanksgiving's 2 days. You got the Eagles coming to town as we close out the month of November. Lamar was asked if we're treating every game like a playoff game at this stage of the year.
Yeah, man, we're trying to win regardless. Every game is a playoff game for us. It's been that way, you know, but it's, when we took that loss, I felt like everyone just died then. Like, yeah, man, it can go either way for us. If we started off, you know, winning games in consecutive weeks back-to-back. We lost to Cleveland, came back, win a couple, then we lose to Steelers. It's like we just got to keep our foot on the gas. We can't come up for air. We got to stay down and just stay locked in.
Well, really what you're going for is positioning. Is what you're going for in the playoffs. And the more you win, the better position you get. And that's where I see them right now. You know, so, I mean, if they lose a couple, yeah, then what are you looking at? Seventh seed? And, you know, you win the division, you got a home game for sure.
Yeah, right now they're the five seed. They would play Houston in Houston, and that's going to be a reality coming up on Christmas Day. But, I mean, they're definitely within striking distance of the Steelers, who right now are the third seed. They've lost to Kansas City. So you're three games behind them, basically three and a half, four. You beat Buffalo, though. You're still, game and a half behind the Bills here, who've played 11 games. They're coming off their bye. But win your division, as you just said, Vinny, you get a home game, and then things will start taking care of themselves there.
Yeah, and I was just going to check Buffalo's schedule real quick, Bob. I mean, they got the Niners, which hopefully they got all their players back. Oh, then they go to the Rams and go to the Lions. So that could be. And then they got the Patriots, Jets, Patriots. So, I mean.
So they're 12-2 right now. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan. We'll come back. Count that dough. It's buy or sell. Chris Boombacha, USA Today. Talk about the NFL through 12 heading into week 13. Thanksgiving's got three games coming our way. If you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. NFL launch at 1. Vinny's Feeble 5. We're the five worst teams in the National Football League.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is Turning Up Tuesday. Cranking it up to 12. Pick a song. We'll play it loud. Send your request. Pause for text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Tons going on in the world of sports. Let's count that dough 2 days from Thanksgiving by yourself.
All right, the Dow is down 111. S&P's up 17. NASDAQ's up 77. DraftKings up a dime. Under Armour's down 18 cents.
We're getting started in Major League Baseball again today. No one's been more aggressive this offseason than the LA Angels. They added catcher Travis d'Arnaud shortly after he was released by the Braves, traded for Jorge Soler, then bolstered their rotation with veteran arm Kyle Hendricks. And again this week, another starting pitcher arm coming to L.A., Yusei Kikuchi, who's earning quite the payday in the process, 3 years, $63 million. Now, some teams haven't even made one move yet, and Angels already with an offseason's worth of moves before the winter meetings even begin. Buy or sell, Bob, the Angels' early aggressiveness is all for show, no moves of substance.
I'm going to sell that because Cuckoo Kikuchi actually got a Cy Young vote a couple of days ago, which Tarek Skubal eventually won, and I think he was linked to the Orioles to some level. Soler's got a big bat, but, you know, he's got his peaks and valleys. I think they're actually the Angels trying to be relevant. The health of Mike Trout is going to be the key there. Anthony Rendon, boy, you talk about bad free agent contracts. Hi-yo! There's one of them. I think they're trying to be in it to win it, but they're still chasing in the West. Seattle, Houston, obviously. And Texas, I would think, are still ahead of them. And maybe the Athletics. Don't call us Oakland. The Athletics. Who knows?
Well, no one inside the Giants locker room was happy on Sunday, and many of the players voiced their frustration with the media. Among them was rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers, who sounded more upset with his lack of targets than the team losing. The quote from Nabers says, go out there the first, second quarter, don't get the ball, start getting targets at the end, start getting the ball when it's 30-0. What do you want me to do? Ask Daboll about that. The last time Neighbors had double-digit targets in a game was the Giants' first meeting with Dallas back in late September. They'll meet them again on Thanksgiving Day. Buy or sell, Vinny, Neighbors will have double-digit targets in that game as well.
I'll buy it. I'll buy it. They got no reason not to. I mean, he's a great player, great receiver, and they need to get the ball in his hands if they want to have any success offensively. I mean, they were down 30-0 before they throw it to him.
Yeah, and he made it clear, as Nolan said, that that was an unacceptable game plan. And the kid Tracy, who did well, he's like a fumble a game all of a sudden. So why not? It's like me in the old Madden last time I played like 30 years ago. I would just throw it deep to Randy Moss and hope for the best.
Fake punts, too. Yes. Always a fake punt.
That's right.
Well, a little NBA news here. Kristaps Porzingis made his season debut last night for the Celtics after undergoing foot surgery in the offseason. Going back to last year, Boston, they got pretty used to playing without him. He really wasn't available at all down the stretch into the playoffs as well. As a result, only played 57 games, but was a prominent part of their starting five, averaged the most shots per game behind Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So far this year, in his absence, Derek White has stepped up to take more shots, Peyton Pritchard averaging 10 shots a night as well. Buy or sell, Bob, Porzingis will actually see a decrease in shot attempts this year.
I'm going to buy that because Derek White's having a hell of a season. For them, he's really getting it done, slowly assimilating back into the offensive flow. I mean, the Celtics are still one of the best teams in the NBA. Last time I checked, 15-3. So, you know, work him in there slowly. The zinger, gotta love a 7-footer that can hit 30 footers when he's healthy.
And we'll close with this in the NFL. At times this year, Titans head coach Brian Callahan was visibly frustrated in game with the performance of quarterback Will Levis, barking at him, yelling at him after boneheaded turnovers, and to be fair, there were some really ugly moments in the early part of the season. But in the last three games for the Titans, Will Levis actually playing pretty decent. 748 yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 picks. That's not MVP stuff, but way better than what we saw before, and Coach Callahan gave him some praise in the process. Buy or sell, Vinny, Levis has improved enough where Tennessee will still feel okay with him as their top quarterback option going into next year?
You know what? I'm going to buy it just because... The reason I'm going to buy it is there's not a lot of quarterbacks that are going to be up for the draft that are good enough. So I'm going to buy it, you know? And one of his bad moments Sunday was that pick 6 was not pretty.
But he's got a howitzer for an arm. He can make some throws.
I'm guessing, Bob, that he ain't the smartest dude in the world.
I mean, I've never spoken to the young man, but I would not.
He is a mayonnaise fanatic.
Did you see that?
He can do the splits. I don't get it. What? Oh, he does the commercial. Yeah, I gotcha. Let's see. He like mayonnaise before the game, like Jim Palmer used to eat pancakes.
Probably.
Before
starting. No, I mean, it comes from a real love of mayonnaise. It's not manufactured for the ad.
Well,
he's obsessed with mayonnaise.
I mean, it's not the healthiest food.
No.
But I like ham and cheese with mayonnaise, lettuce, tomato, tuna fish. Come on.
BLT.
I can get down with some mayonnaise.
It's a role player.
Yes.
It's not the best player in the sandwich, but it's there.
Yes.
It could be, if you have good mayonnaise, it could be, what the hell are we talking about? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Chris Boombacha, USA Today. Talked some NFL with him. We're 12 weeks in. MVP watch. Is it still Lamar? People are chasing. What about the next 5-6 weeks of this season? Then we'll take more of your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Hey, the Ravens won last night. They did. They really did. It happened in real time in front of like millions of witnesses. And we're not hearing any celebratory phone calls. What are you waiting for them to lose to the Eagles so you can whine and complain?
No more Harbs calls?
Oh, my God. Hey, when you want to assess blame, we're listening. When you want to praise, come on. Let's do it here on The Fan. 30-23, bouncing back nicely. Thank you very much from that loss at Pittsburgh last Sunday. So they handle their business against the Chargers. Now it's about the Eagles coming up this coming Sunday, 425, M&T Bank Stadium. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass, here to talk about Week 12, including last night. Look ahead to Week 13, which includes a couple of crappy Thanksgiving games. It is what it is. From USA Today, let's welcome back to the show Chris Boombacha. Chris, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
Guys, feeling great. Thanks so much for having me on, as always. And what, you're not excited about Tommy DeVito versus Cooper Rush for your Thanksgiving dinner time? Come on, man.
I'd rather sit around, drink beer, watching Danny DeVito listening to Rush on his headphones than watch this game. But, you know, it is football, and there's a gambling aspect, so we all like to win a couple of dollars. Chris, last night's game, Chargers marched down the field, score on the first drive. They get up 10-0. John Harbaugh got aggressive there as the Ravens eventually took the lead and then basically cruised from there. Your impressions of the ebbs and flows of the Monday night game and how much the loss of J.K. Dobbins maybe affected things for Greg Roman ultimately?
Yeah, I think it definitely affected things. J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are not the same back, as Ravens fans know all too well. They're a great tandem together, but Gus is not going to replace J.K. Like that in aggregate. So I think that definitely had a significant impact on the game. I think he was up to like 40 yards, like right off the rip against that Ravens defense, which did actually, rebound. And that's part of the ebbs and flows that we're talking about, right? Like, they really bowed up toward the end of the game there. Quentin Johnson helped them out with a few key drops, right? But, like, I think it was an encouraging sign for the Ravens defense on the night overall. I kind of like that Chargers offense. Justin Herbert's otherworldly. So for them to have a, like, somewhat decent game against a star quarterback, I think is going to go a long way for the confidence of that unit. And, yeah, the offense was the offense. They were inconsistent at times, but for the most part were pretty solid, I thought.
Hey, Chris, what do you think the future holds for the Chargers over the next 6 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question, right? Like, you look at their wins, they're not really against star quarterbacks if you take out the Sunday night game against Joe Burrow and the Bengals last week. So it's really like a matter of, will this team actually be able to beat teams that are like postseason teams, because that's what they're going to need to do to make the playoffs themselves. So I think that, they were a nice story to begin the year. I don't know if they're going to be able to hang on to a playoff spot, but we'll see. I mean, Denver's right there with them. And then you got to look at a team like the Bengals, who might be able to make a run late in the season. I know that nobody in Baltimore wants to hear this, that I picked the Bengals to win the division. I refuse to give up on them just yet. I do think that they're too good on offense, and they've been too unlucky late in games to be where they are right now. So, maybe it's maybe they've dug themselves too big of a hole, and it is, a considerable hole. So we'll see.
Chris, I'll tell you what, feeding off of that point, I think the Bengals beat the Steelers, and if they beat the Steelers, I think they run the table.
And that's the thing, right, with this Bengals team. You look at them, and you're like, how are they this bad, right? The defense has been pretty abysmal all season. I think that they were starting to turn around a little bit until they ran into Lamar and the Ravens on that Thursday night, right? But I like their coordinator a lot, Lou Anarumo. They've got some decent players in the secondary, but injuries and just inconsistent play has been a real detriment to that unit. And there's not really much of a pass rush either outside of Trey Hendrickson. He needs some help getting after the quarterback.
Hey, Chris, I'll tell you what. If you like a running game, you'll want to be in Baltimore this Sunday for the Eagles and the Ravens.
Amen, man. Listen, I have a story out this morning on USAtoday.com about how running backs are back, man, especially these elite top-tier backs when you go to the free agent market and they're available. You look at the top three rushers this year, it's Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs. All of them were free agent signings from this offseason. And I think it's like the combined record of their teams are 25-9, and the combined record of the teams that they left are 7-26. There's a lot of factors that go into that, of course, but one of them being that, look, good teams, good organizations that build from the trenches out have the luxury of being able to go out and sign these top-end backs even when they're later in their careers. This whole thing about, hey, we got to draft a running back, what's the difference between a fifth round and a fifth-round rookie and a star? I think we're seeing it this year for the first time in a long time. So, yeah, I'm psyched. Part of the piece that I mentioned earlier, revolves around Saquon and Derek going head-to-head. And, yeah, like, they've only proven the naysayers wrong all season, and I expect that to continue on Sunday. It's going to be a great matchup. I'm really looking forward to it. It's a somewhat weeks late, and I'm happy that I'm going to be there for it.
Oh, nice. Hey, if you get there early, come by the casino. We'll be doing the pregame show from there at Brew Brothers, right, Bob?
Horseshoe Casino.
Yes, at the Horseshoe Casino. Hey,
nice.
Yeah, come by and see us. We got good food and stuff there. Hey, Chris, what game intrigues you for Thursday or Friday?
I mean, I'll take the easy answer here and say that the night game on Thanksgiving
is going to be cold.
I know, right? And the Dolphins just never do well in the cold. But maybe it'll be good practice for them if they are able to go on a run. We mentioned the Bengals before as an AFC team to watch that could go on a run. I'll put the Dolphins in a similar category just because of how they perform with Tua, right? The numbers with him in versus out. And, yes, that's going to be the case with any starting quarterback. But I think it's, particularly noticeable there in Miami. I'm a Mike McDaniel believer. I know that he's got a lot of detractors out there. I like him a lot. They got Calais Campbell down there leading the defense, that veteran leadership. So I still, like the Dolphins a little bit. I think that they also, I'll put them in the category of hole was too deep and they're not going to be able to climb out of it. But yeah, I think that's going to be the best game of the four between Thursday and Friday. I'm not really looking forward to seeing the Raiders in a standalone spot on Friday afternoon. That might be a good time to keep catching up with family or something. You know what? I think Bears-Lions is going to be a better matchup than people think, right? Because it's just like a divisional game. And, there's talent there. Whereas the divisional game in the other afternoon slot on Thanksgiving might not have as much talent as we hope in a standalone spot.
Chris Boombacher, USA Today, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Chris, last thing for you. Let's talk about a couple of shaky teams. How are you feeling about them right now, Houston and Washington? And what about Denver maybe ascending? We saw them a couple of weeks back against the Ravens. I mean, they got their pants pulled down a little bit, but Bo Nix didn't seem overwhelmed by it. But what about Denver and what's going on in Houston and Washington?
Yeah, man, Bo Nix makes me question everything that I know about football, right? Because he's a guy that, I just was not high on coming out of college. I watched him in college for, 5 years, right? And I'm sitting here wondering, how is this going to translate to the NFL? I guess Sean Payton is the answer to that question. He's doing a great job with Bo Nix, and he's got him playing super confident right now. And that is the difference between a rising team like Denver and teams that are struggling, like you mentioned, in Houston and Washington. As Denver's offense gets better throughout the season, the Commanders' offense, has really declined, right? And everybody's calling it the Cliff in reference to offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury for the Commanders, how his offenses always start out pretty strong, and then around halfway through the year, things seem to decline. And I said there's data to back that up. You go look at EPA, pretty much any stat, winning, losing, and it bears itself out during his time as head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Now, with Houston, I'm really worried about them. I think that if Indy can get it together at all, they're going to win the division because Houston's offense is a mess right now. C.J. Stroud has thrown way too many interceptions. I know, a guy who throws interceptions – is it the worst thing, right? We say guys that keep clean sheets sometimes aren't aggressive enough with the ball, right? And they're not really driving the ball downfield, making plays, making things happen. But that number is just way too far the other way for Stroud right now. And look, people in Houston were kind of down on Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, before I think the rest of the country kind of caught up to it. And I think we're seeing that now. Yes, Nico Collins was out for a while. And Stroud's dealt with injuries to his receivers, but I don't think they're leaning on Joe Mixon enough in the running game and really letting him do his thing. Despite the fact that he has pretty good numbers this season, so I'm worried about Houston for sure.
Chris Boombacher, USA Today, writes about the NFL and other things, so check him out for sure. Chris, appreciate the time. Chris, by the way, joining us on the Window Nation guest hotline. Chris, have a great Thanksgiving and holiday, you and the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. See you this weekend.
All right, Chris. Chris Boombach coming to Baltimore for that Battle of the Birds on Turkey Week, ironically enough. Ravens hosting the Eagles. Baltimore 2.5-point favorites. If you're on the phones, hang tight. We'll get you. We can't get to you next. We'll certainly have some NFL lunch with you at 1 o'clock. People, five, who are the five worst teams in the National Football League? And we'll talk about how we did picks-wise. I think we all took the Ravens, and smartly so. NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. Going to feed you some football. If you're on the phones, Samaj, Brian, David, you'll be eating some football with us. Ravens shoving that football down Chargers' throats by way of Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson, two touchdown passes, one via the ground, four sacks, including Adape Oweh's eighth of the year. So we'll get into all of that and more. Feeble 5 at 1:15, and then more of your phone calls. Look ahead to Week 13 schedule and everything else going on. It's going to be, hey, tomorrow, when we reconvene, it's going to be Eagles.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not even 24 hours since the game ended. As a matter of fact, we're like 12 hours since the game ended. And we're already moving on to Philly because we're off for Thursday and Friday. Company holiday, man. Like I said, hey, you know, it's in your contract that you get paid to stay home and not work for 2 days. What am I going to say? Nah, man. I want to work, and I want to work for free. So we'll be back on Monday, as a matter of fact. But anyway, Nolan, what's going on? You want to go to Fun House? Any comments for the people out there?
Real quick, another thought. I hate to harp on the refs, but it is a common theme on the show. Last night, as you heard from Vinny there, a little questionable at times. what surprised me, though, and I don't recall really seeing this from a ref crew in recent history, they changed their mind a lot. And they picked up flags quite a few times. The Andrews touchdown, that wasn't a flag, but initially called him out. That was totally bogus. Everyone saw that in real time that he was in. They changed that. Stevens' pass interference, they changed. They picked up the flag. And I think there was another situation, a toe tap on the sideline for L.A. There was a flag on that as well. They were deciding whether it was a catch or not, whether to use the penalty yardage or what. I don't recall seeing a ref crew second guess themselves like that many times in the game. It was almost got to a point in the second half where every time they threw a flag, they had to huddle up and say, are you sure? Did you get that right?
I think, Norm, that they have an ear set to New York, and I think New York probably helps them out. And they don't want New York. They don't want to be embarrassed on Monday night. I mean, I said it earlier, Aikman started, you know, after there was some flags. He says, well, welcome to Monday night. Mm-hmm. We always have a lot of yellow flags.
But as long as they get it right, and I don't care if they talk to Kazoo from the next dimension, get the call right. So if there's indecision, and ultimately all turn out to be the right calls, right? For the most part.
Right.
Well, the leg whip was a little, Linderbaum, never mind.
You know what's crazy?
I'll take that back.
You know what's crazy?
They do suck.
In the Pittsburgh game, you could grab, tackle, do whatever you wanted in the secondary, and this one you couldn't touch a guy. That's the problem, you know, with referees. It's just like a strike zone with umpires. You never know what it is till you start. And, you know their history of the group, but I mean, everything was so ticky-tack.
Well, first game of the year against the Chiefs. How many times Ronnie Stanley get flagged for an illegal formation? Boy, that got shut down right out of the gate. Because on national TV, two championship-worthy teams, and the first 3 minutes is nothing but laundry. I'm sure something like that. No, that's enough.
Did get the illegal formation last night.
Yeah.
Well, that was blatant. And Belichick called it
before Henry even got in the end zone.
But that does seem to be a thing that plagues the Ravens for some reason. Not just this year. I mean, recent years, last 5, 6, 7 years, they've always had issues with illegal formation. And it never makes sense to me. I mean, you practice these plays. You know the NFL rules.
Some cases, Vinny and Nolan, it's like a matter of inches, too. I mean, you have to be like set properly or close to the line of scrimmage or on the end.
And now, you know what's hard, though? And I was a receiver, all right? And are you on? You off? You come out of the huddle and you're thinking, okay, because you see the receiver all the time and the line judge over there, their side judge. You point to him, am I okay? Yes. All right. And then the tight end comes over, and then you got to get back off the ball. And then you're worried about, what coverage. So it's tougher than you think. Just let you know that, because I had to do it, for 3 years.
And with the Ravens having so much pre-snap motion, that was the case with the penalty last night. It wouldn't have been a penalty unless the guy motioned over and lined up next to him. So that does add another layer.
Speedy at 81057, the Fan Funhouse, or no?
We'll do a few. We'll do
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Did a kid fall from the stadium?
The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7.
Game-saving catch in Carolina. Kid fell out of the stadium, and the old lineman for the Chiefs caught him.
Wow.
Nice grab.
Yeah.
All right.
And he got penalized for illegal use of hand.
We'll start with this texter who says, Nate Wiggins should not be a designated blitzer in the future.
No.
I think he's a little too thin to bring down a big quarterback like Herbert. Even though he had a clear shot last night, it was easily sidestepped for a whiff when Herbert stepped up in the pocket.
Well, a lot of time with those blitzers, and you know what? It's the same with guys covering kicks, the exact same thing. You got to break down. You can't come sprinting right at them because they'll just step around you. If you break down, get yourself under control so you can move laterally, that's what you got to do. Same as the guys covering kicks, exact same thing, or covering punts. They come barreling down there to cover that punt. Oh, I'm the first one down. And he just sidesteps you. I mean, break down, keep the ball inside and in front of you, and wrap.
Here's an interesting thought from Nelly in Abingdon, who says, why are so many of Lamar's throws sailing high the last couple of games, especially early in the first half? Is it his mechanics again, or do we think he's having trouble planting and driving on that knee that was giving him a trouble a few weeks ago?
Preston texted me the same thing this morning. I think, you know, he was 1 for 5 and probably similar in Pittsburgh. Then he was 15 out of 17 after that. I think maybe he's too excited, too jacked up. You know, and the ball, you know, when your ball sails on you.
Speedy at 81057 the Fan. We'll come back. NFL lunch coming your way. We'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Feeble Five. Who are the 5 worst teams in the National Football League? There's a lot of bad teams. Yeah. We're going to tell you who the 5 worst are, according to Vinny Serrato. And then back to your calls. We'll look at the schedule for Week 13 and everything else happening on this Turn It Up Tuesday. It's a Victory Tuesday. Haiti, Vinny, Nolan, you, us, them, Fan.